format any longer.
It's
my hope that we'll be able to shift things up. Okay.
So
what we're gonna do now, we're going to I saw a quote from a dear friend of mine, and I saw a quote from a dear friend of mine, Rabbi Joseph Rosenfeld, and he's an addictions counselor and gives really profound shiurim on Jewish thought, on Jewish philosophy. And he posted just as a status on Facebook, the following quote from the little book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know if you're feeling the same way about it. I definitely have had this sentiment before. And that's what I'm really working towards in terms of this mindfulness. This is a quote. This is really fantastic. He says, "We admitted we were powerless over everything and that our lives had become unmanageable." And I don't know about you, but over the last couple of days with the spread of this coronavirus, and you know how so many things in our lives have all of a sudden turned upside down, you know, in such a way that things that we thought were going to happen, things that we thought were going to be a given, are suddenly not a given. Things that we thought that we could control were no longer in our control. But we imagined that we thought that we were going to have, you know, a certain event, but let's call it an auction, I don't know, on Sunday. And all of a sudden, it became increasingly and painfully obvious that this was not going to be a possibility at all for everybody's health, for everybody's sake. You know, despite the fact that we thought that we were going to be able to do certain things, and all of a sudden, we no longer were in control of that fact. We no longer had the ability to control our environment. Our world began to spiral out of control. And that made it very, very unmanageable. Now, a little bit of theory for a moment. There are two ways of thinking. We'll put it in the words of Marshall Linehan, founded DBT. There is, on one hand, the wise mind, and on the other hand, the emotional mind. Right, there's the mind, the part of our brain that analyzes and looks at all the facts and figures things out, and then there's the emotional mind. And the emotional mind is much, much more cause and effect, much, much more linked to feelings, much, much more linked to the sensation that everything is out of control. Everything, oh my gosh, everything's broken. Everything, the feeling becomes overwhelming, becomes overwhelming and overpowering. And I can't seek to put my hands around this and be able to take care of this, to control this. When I'm in emotional mind, I sense and feel everything in such a real way. I experience it. Everything in such a completely real way. I feel it, and as if there's no other feeling to, there's no other other experience other than my feeling. And then there's the wise mind. Now, we usually don't or can't occupy one of these two states at the same time. It's usually impossible for us to both observe and think and calculate and understand and then experience those feelings in such a real way, in such a powerful, overpowering way. These two states are totally, totally separate. So let's say, for example, the experience that I'm having, that I'm supposed to have, let's call it a Shushan auction, and all of a sudden, there are certain, you know, things out there in the world that are beyond my control, like, I don't know, a coronavirus, for example. Let's just say, suddenly, I feel like my life has just spiraled incredibly out of my control. I suddenly feel like I no longer have any ability to be able to function. My life, as it was, no longer is in my control. I'm acted upon by outside forces, and I can no longer. The level of distress is too much for me to cope and too much for me to manage. I become unable to manage that stress. I feel it in such a real way. My emotional mind has totally taken over the show. It's gotten in the car and started driving. And I'm no longer in the place to be able to take in information, to process that information, and to make judgments, because I'm basing my reactions only on that emotional input. Because my brain sort of, when it gets into the emotional mind place, it sort of takes these things out of control, sort of puts me in a place that I'm out of control. So I'm feeling like, oh no, the auction, what am I going to do? I can't do this. I simply cannot. And that feeling of I cannot pervades all of my perceptions. It pervades my reality. At that point, I have one of two choices. I have several choices. I can either react explosively. I can try to deny reality. I can fight with every fiber of my being against that reality. Or I can accept that reality and then as such use that as the birthplace of the new reality. I can use that as the birthplace of my new reality. I can either refuse to accept what's going on and spend so much time in emotional mind trying to fight reality, or I can slowly try to accept reality. It's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. Slowly try to accept that reality, and then from there, build a new reality. Rabbi Nachman, back in the old days, everything was made out of wood. It was a useful building material. It was pretty cheap. You could find it. It practically grew on trees. And that was a joke, get it? It's wood. So it grew on trees. And that was what they used to build everything out of. And it was either in Uman or in Breslov, where Rebbe Nachman was living. And there was a horrible fire. Then, you know, you left your oven on, and all of a sudden, the entire town was ashes in a couple of an hour or two. So it was after one of these great fires, I think it was in the town of Breslov, and Rabbi Nachman is walking with his students to the cinders of the town, the ashes of the town, and one person is standing in the ashes of his house, digging and digging and digging in the ash. And everybody's looking at them. What is this guy doing? What is this guy doing? What's happening over here? He must have lost his mind. And Rabbi Nachman said, no, look carefully. This man, it looks like he's lost everything. But he's really digging, trying to find maybe there's a board that he can rebuild with. He's digging through the ashes, looking for a board to rebuild with. Isn't that special? You can either get so caught up in the feeling that I'm out of control. It's mamish. The emotions that race at that time are a sreifa. They're a forest fire, if you would. It's that everything's been destroyed. My reality is over. The auction isn't happening. And it's not healthy. It's not safe. What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, you and Shiro look at each other and you say, internet auction. We're going to take this digital. We're going to take this live. We're going to get dressed up and stand in front of a camera and spin a wheel and look like completely like nothing just happened, even though there's came out no less like five people in a room with us. But we're going to be full tilt as if we're talking to 400 people. We accept that we're going to change. We're going to accept that this reality is going to be totally different. We're rebuilding this reality out of the ashes of the last one. When they write in the big in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that our lives have become unmanageable, right? That we were not able to. Let's get that language up again over here. I'm sorry, my phone just clicked off with the source over here. We admitted that we were powerless over everything and that our lives had become unmanageable. When we admitted to ourselves, this is out of my control. As powerful as Shira Boshnik is, she cannot stop coronavirus by herself. She tried. She did. But she cannot stop coronavirus by herself. And that life had become unmanageable because we were too busy fighting with that reality, that without this admission of powerlessness, or we would say this acceptance of it. Once that acceptance took place, then we could search through the ashes for a board to build with. Once we surrendered control and say, what's the new normal? What's the new reality? What's the new reality that's taking place? I'll tell you something. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. I will anyway. The Zohar says, maybe you're familiar with the Midrash that talks about there being worlds before this world, that they were created and destroyed and created and destroyed and created and destroyed. And you say, what's the point of such a Midrash? Like, what are you telling me? Archaeology, what's the point? And the Ishmael Rebbe, quoting the Zohar, says, you know what the mystery of this is? It's to teach you that after you've created something and everything went south and it burnt down, you can start over again. If you accept the reality that this crashed and burnt, then you can start over again. So this acceptance, this powerful mode of acceptance, this place of saying that we were powerless and it became unmanageable and you let go. And then you let go. And you say, okay, I'm letting go of what I thought today was going to be like. I'm letting go of all those preconceived notions. I'm letting go. I'm letting it burn to the ground. I'm searching through the ashes for something to rebuild with. I want to start over from there. Again, using this example, just because everybody knows it, so it's easy to use at this point. I'm not having 400 people in Kingsway. Not happening anymore. That dream died. It's over. Now what can we rebuild from that? What is the boards we can salvage? Oh, we have a website. Oh, we still have prizes. Oh, we have Facebook and Instagram. Oh, maybe we can get some professional photographers to come in at the last minute. And rebuild from there. But it starts with a moment of letting go. It starts with the movement of feeling of powerlessness and to say to myself, there is nothing wrong with me to feel powerless. There's nothing wrong for me to say that everything burnt down. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay to feel weak for the moment. There's no shame in that. There's no shame to feel like I'm out of control here. Because so long as we grasp at that feeling of control at that moment, we're just trying to fight with reality. This has been taken out of our control. This new normal, we're no longer going to be on campus, right? It's kind of hard to be the OUJLIC OUJLIC educator at Brooklyn College, hello, if there's no longer a sea of campus anymore. campus is, there is no campus anymore. This is going to become the new campus right in front of us. This is the new campus. This is where we're rebuilding. This is what we're doing from now. We're creating a new reality, and the change is scary. The change is scary because now this is what class looks like. This is the new normal here. And it's okay to own that this feels weird, because it's not like I can look at all of you and you don't all return the look in the same time. You don't smirk at the joke that I make in real time. I have to wait a second. And then sometimes you still don't, because sometimes it glitches out. And we have to mute the background noise. So it's hard to speak all together all the time. But this is the new normal. And this is true with every change in life. This is not just a Torah. This is not just a teaching. This is not just a tool for right now when there happens to be a coronavirus that cancels your auction and then makes you give Mindful Mondays classes on a computer. This is a tool for everything in life. When all of a sudden the carpet gets pulled out from under you and you need to start again. Because by accepting the emotion, by greeting the emotion, by feeling the emotion there, we can then go from the all-encompassing emotional mind to shift back into the wise mind. I can shift back and say, notice the emotion. I can see the emotion and not totally get sucked into the emotion. I can say, the auction is over. I don't have control over this auction anymore. It's no longer in my hands. I can't fight with it, and I feel powerless, and I feel frustrated, and I can own each emotion and notice them and say, as we've talked about in the past, Shalom Aleichem. It's nice to see you. Baruch Haba. Welcome. I feel weak. I feel concerned. I feel out of control. Baruch Haba. It's okay to feel like that. It's okay. The feeling will not last forever. And the more I try to fight the feeling, the more it's going to try, it stays with you. The more I look at it and say, how are you doing? Welcome. The more it can move on. But it all starts with that acceptance. It starts with that, the admission. We admit that we were powerless. And life had become unmanageable. I'm not quite sure. Shira sent me a note. I can't read it. And I'm okay with that. But it's okay. And feeling like all of our schedules have been uprooted and things are totally out of control now, that accepting that things are different. Things have been changed. Things have slipped out. We thought that we had the perfect schedule, with sitting next to the perfect person in that class, then maybe we'd study together. I get to know them a little better, right? And that's not a reality anymore. That dream is also burnt to the ground. All of the different things that we thought were going to happen this semester aren't not necessarily going to happen the way that we thought they were going to happen. They're not going to happen. Hold on, here comes the note again from Shira Vashnik. I thought Shira says, similarly, you imagine that you are not going to be in quarantine. Some people ended up in quarantine. They're no fault of their own. Some of us, Lolano, might contract the coronavirus. And then we'll you'll blame yourself. So what did I do? Now, you do the best you can. You see that amount of control. Of course, you do everything you're supposed to do to stay safe. That goes without saying. But if, let's say, something like that happens and it's out of your control, you let go. You say, I thought I was in control. And you realize that you're not. And that's okay. And it's okay to feel like you are out of control. There's no shame in feeling like you are out of control. There's no shame in having felt weak or powerless. That's okay. Once you've accepted that, so then you can take it back. Then you can start again, search through the ashes to rebuild. You can search through those ashes to rebuild. Okay, so I mean, I've gone on long enough. Let's try to use that one of these tools now. Now instead of just me talking, let's try to practice this a little bit. Now let's try to practice this skill a little bit. Okay, so everybody, if you want, you can close your eyes. If you don't want to close your eyes, that's okay too. Close your eyes. Feel your feet on the floor. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. And in through your nose. And out through your mouth. Feel a seat in front of you. Feel yourself here in the moment right now. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. Feel the breath coming out of your mouth. Feel what the breathing is like. Feeling that breathing. Do a scan over your whole body. Let your eyes or your sense roll from the top of your head. Note where you feel tension. Is it tension at the top of your head? Let it go down your neck, down to the tips of your fingers. Do you feel anything tense over there? Do you feel anything interesting over there? Let it go down further. Scan down your torso. Scan down your torso. Scan. Let your mind rest, your feelings, your senses rest. Down your torso. Let it down your legs, your knees. Your toes, what do you feel? Do you feel any tenseness there? Do you feel any tightness there? If you are feeling any tenseness, centered acceptance. I accept. I accept the tenseness which is there. It could be if you'll scan back. I mean, we breathed a little bit, so we've already told our bodies. Our bodies have told us that we're a little bit more calm right now. I'd like you to go and think if at any point over the last couple of days that you started to freak a little bit, when it was when you found out after being happy that there was no more class, realizing that, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with the time? How am I going to organize the time? What am I supposed to do? How am I going to graduate on schedule? Or after being told that no, you have to stay in the house. Or no, you can't even go to shul. You go to shul, oh my God, what do you want from me if I can't go to shul? Or they found out that you can't get free sushi anymore. What am I going to eat? You might have felt panicked at a different point in the time over the last couple of days. Where did you feel it? Maybe you felt elated that you had a couple of days off. That's also good. But eventually something starting to make you feel powerless. Something made you feel powerless. Something started to worry you. Remember where you felt it? Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Again, in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Send that place that feeling some love. Send that place some love. Wherever you were feeling the tenseness, the worry, was it in your head? Was it in your chest? Maybe behind your shoulders, maybe in your arm, maybe in both arms. Maybe it's in your stomach. Maybe your stomach felt cold and a pit felt there once or twice today over the course of the last week. Let's send that area again some love, some acceptance. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Maybe there's a feeling right now in the front of your mind, in the back of your mind. Maybe there's a thought there that you're trying to ignore it because it's scary, because you're afraid of what it means. You're trying to push it out of your head. But it's not leaving, of course, as we said. So send it some love also. Send it a Baruch Haba. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Let's relax a little bit more. Say shalom to that thought. Baruch Haba to that thought. I accept the fear. I accept the feeling of weakness or powerlessness. It's okay. It's okay to have felt like that. There are many places that we felt strong, that we felt the ability to rebuild. If you had a moment like that also, let's notice that moment right now, the moment when you felt strong. Breathe in through your nose, through your mouth. Can you feel the feet on the floor? Can you feel your feet? You feel your feet over there? Feeling your feet on the floor, curl your toes. Recognize the feeling of your toes bringing you into the moments, bringing you into the right now, into the achshav, the right now. Feeling in my place. Imagine a place, if you could go to that safe place in your head, where it was okay, where you felt accepted, where you felt loved. No matter what the feeling was, let your mind go there right now. Give your mind the ability to go to the place. Imagine what it was like as a thought, an image, a feeling, a smell, a sensation. Sensation. Let yourself feel that place. What's it like? What's it like? Can you feel that? Can you feel that okayness? That goodness, that acceptance? Let it calm down and imagine like a warm sensation flowing down your back, down your back, down your legs, down your knees. Let yourself feel it. And your knees to your toes. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Open your eyes, if they were closed. And go. If a thought or you have a feeling, make yourself a voice note, a WhatsApp note, some type of note to yourself about something that you felt, that you discovered about yourself, and write it down, note to yourself. Be okay with the world being destroyed and it being rebuilt. Digging and finding the plank to rebuild with, finding that acceptance. Anyone needs to talk further, wants to talk further about any of these feelings, any of these thoughts, DM me. I can make up a time to schmooze and practice some of these tools. We can reflect. Get ready to tune in. We're going to learn again tomorrow and learn again on Tuesday. Maybe Shira Bajnik will allow her picture to be seen. We can all hope. If anyone has a question or anything they want to ask right now, I'm going to unmute the mics. And otherwise, we will call this to an end. I'll post the recording if anyone wants to practice these breathings or wants to hear part of the shmooze again. You're very welcome to. I will, share the audio, maybe the visual, although you want to look at a guy, you know, talking to you and with his eyes closed. I don't know. That helps. Okay. It's all good. So I'm going to unmute you now. And then afterwards, if there's nothing else to talk about, then we'll say goodbye for now. I'll see you very shortly.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you all for joining me. It's really great to see you all. Mitzvah Shem, we'll all be together again.
Can we all just take a moment and thank the Raps for how awesome Saucy is for making this Mindful Monday and like making it a thing? Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure.
It's great to see you all, guys.
It's great to see you all.
And your tie was really snazzy yesterday. It was super stark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a wonderful one, guys. If you need me, reach out.
We love you, Rabbi.
we love you all, guys. We love you all.
Oh my gosh, and send my love to Shira. I miss her.
Oh, by the way, guys, on Thursday, we're gonna do pop up. You know, she's with Kitty Boschnek will be next, so she's gonna agreed to teach. Yazdi, you on for Thursday? Anybody else? Rena?
Wait, I thought I was already doing Thursday.
What are you talking about, Shira? We are sticking to your plan.
I had this a month ago, Shira.
Okay, great. So let's keep that.
We're good.
And we'll be joining.